you know, Ed Gillespie yesterday eked out a victory in Virginia to beat back Corey Stewart. Nobody expected it to be that close, or a few people did, actually. Let's talk now to Dr. Stephen Farnsworth. He's with the University of Virginia, and he can tell us all about what we saw happen yesterday. Dr. Farnsworth, thank you very much for taking some time out this morning.
Oh, sure. Glad to do it. And just to double check, it's University of Mary Washington.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, there you go. My apologies. Let's jump into your analysis of the race last night. First of all, what did you make of the proximity of Corey Stewart to Ed Gillespie after what limited polling we had suggested that Ed Gillespie was way out ahead before?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Corey Stewart very strongly outperformed the numbers we were seeing in the polls for this race. Part of that has to do with the fact that you saw a really low turnout among Republicans compared to the turnout among the Democrats. And so when you have a smaller turnout, those really motivated voters are the ones who are going to have an outsized influence. And that seemed to be the case for Virginia Republicans last night, that Corey Stewart voters were really, really intense, really motivated, really likely to turn out. I suspect a lot of Republicans looking at the polls thought Gillespie was an easy win, didn't show up, and that's one of the reasons why it got closer.
You know, one sort of, I think, understated part of this race was the Confederate monument issue. Ultimately, you know, Corey Stewart came out very strong for keeping Confederate monuments in place all around the country and ended up in generating a lot of support for that issue within the state of Virginia. And we even heard Ed Gillespie towards the tail end of the race begin to signal that, hey, he doesn't want to mess with history either. What'd you make of that element of the race?
Well, you know, when Gillespie started talking about it as well those last few days before the election, I was thinking maybe this is closer than the polls suggest. And so maybe they had some internal information in the Gillespie campaign that suggested that Corey Stewart was more than a threat than people had recognized earlier on. I think that ultimately an issue like that is going to bring out the really, really committed supporters on this issue. But the folks who are opposed to it might not be as intense and willing to participate in the primary to, say, vote against Stewart. Another thing that worked for Stewart is that this was a three-candidate race. And in the Hampton Roads area, the state senator, Frank Wagner, who was also in this race and got almost 14% of the vote, he got a lot of votes that otherwise probably would have gone, most of them, for Gillespie rather than Stewart.
What about the presence of Trump in this? We saw Perriello attempt to reach out to Trump voters, whereas Northam really distanced himself from Trump by calling him a narcissistic maniac. Gillespie, you know, tiptoed around Trump, whereas Stewart embraced Trump. Did that have anything to do with their performances?
Well, I think so. I think that, you know, again, when we talk about who the most intense voters are, the most intense voters on the Republican side, you're really looking at those people who are supportive of Trump. It's important to remember that Virginia Republicans have been divided for a while about Trump. When we had a primary in Virginia last year for the presidential race, Trump did win the state, but not by much. There were a lot of voters who were willing to back another candidate. And so it becomes very difficult sometimes for a party when they control the White House to get their act together, to work in a unified way. And so you see that when we were looking at President Obama, the Republicans were much more unified. Now that it's President Trump, those Republican divisions are becoming more and more visible in Virginia.
What do you, Corey Stewart not yet conceding at this point, what is his legal recourse, if any, and how does he keep this thing alive? At this point, it seems like this thing's going to move on without him, whether or not he concedes.
I think that's true. I mean, you know, you need to remember that Virginia is not Florida. We actually can count our ballots pretty well here. But you want to, if you're a candidate, you've worked hard, you want to make sure all your avenues are considered. So what you're going to see now is the final count of absentee ballots and some provisional ballots, maybe people who didn't have proper ID when they went to the polls. They still have a day or two to clear that up. So there are some votes that are to be counted, but really we're talking about a very, very thin reed here. This is over 1,000 vote difference. That's going to, over 1 percentage point difference. That's over 4,000 votes. You're looking at a really very, very slim chance, almost impossible for Corey Stewart to overcome a margin that size. Virginia's not that bad at counting ballots that Corey Stewart is going to prevail.
So let's transition to the Democratic side. You've got Ralph Northam topping Tom Perriello. And what does that say about the state of Virginia and the fact that the two so-called moderate candidates ended up topping both sides of the aisle?
Well, I think it does speak to the anti-Trump element within the Democratic Party. Perriello came to this campaign really as a very, very vigorous anti-Trump voice. Northam offered a more moderate Democratic vision. But as the campaign wore on, you saw Northam getting more and more liberal, more and more left in some of the things that he had to say in trying to prevent Perriello from winning. So for the anti-Trump Democrats, you're seeing a very clear movement, a very clear voice out there. And there were a lot more votes cast on the Democratic side than the Republican side. And that does suggest that there's a lot of anti-Trump sentiment. Again, the most motivated people show up at these primaries. And so for the Democrats, it'll be those anti-Trump activists. And Northam really did very, very well compared to what the polls had shown. It's shown a much closer race than it turned out to be on the Democratic side.
Now, I'd like you to get out your crystal ball. What do we see in November?
Well, normally what happens in Virginia in these years after a presidential election is that the party that controls the White House loses the governor's race. That's the natural scheme of things. And again, I think it's because the most motivated voters are the ones upset about what's going on in Washington. I think Gillespie has two basic problems going forward in this campaign. The Republican candidate has to deal with the Donald Trump issue. How can you campaign in a way that doesn't offend the Trump supporters, but doesn't offend those people who might not be all that warm to Trump? You want to get those too, because of course elections are won in November on swing voters. The second problem for Northam is the division within the party. How much of an effort is Corey Stewart going to make for the Republican ticket going forward? He may endorse, he may not endorse, he may endorse in a half-hearted way. And that's going to be a potential problem, because if the Trump voters stay on the sidelines, that's very bad news.
Dr. Stephen Farnsworth, thank you, sir, from the University of Mary Washington. I appreciate your time.